I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Welcome back to the... Oh, no, you go.
I was just going to say it's the last Tuesday of the month.
It sure is. It is. April is over. Well, not yet, but you know what I mean. It's going to be.
Basically.
It's going to be May.
Literally, though. It is literally
going to be May. Yeah, it wasn't... I wasn't just singing that. I was doing the meme.
Remember the first time that meme happened? That was really fucking funny.
Yeah, it was one of the all-time greats, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk about One Cut of the Dead.
We are, yeah.
Our first foreign film of the year.
I know.
Which is a crime.
I know, we should have done one sooner, but... Like I said last episode, just things got mixed up. I had to move some stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But first, some news. Oh, I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
I was just going to say who we were, which is the Killer Cuties podcast, but they clicked it. They know, right?
Yeah, they already know.
Yeah.
Anyway, news and then new movies.
Can't wait.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
This is going to sound like a book synopsis because it is. Darkly is a number one national bestseller about a character named Dia who's chosen for an internship at a gaming studio renowned for its horror games. The owner of the company dies mysteriously and Dia and the other interns discover puzzles and hidden clues and that the internship may not be what it seems. Anyway, that's a YA sort of horror, mostly thriller book, and it's getting a series adaptation from Blumhouse.
Oh.
Blumhouse Television, specifically.
Okay.
That's fun. But the exciting part of the news, now that I've said all that, is that Jamie Lee Curtis is serving as executive producer.
You do love her.
I do love her. She's got a lot going on. She's produced two other series for Blumhouse, The Sticky and Scarpetta. I haven't even heard of either of those. The Sticky, yeah. And just last week, we also found out she's starring in and producing a psychological horror film called Sender.
Hmm.
Yeah, so just a little fun update about Jamie for everyone.
With great.
Book synopsis woven in.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Blumhouse. Killing it.
Well.
Maybe.
Not usually. Occasionally.
I have hope that they will return to the studio that once brought us Get Out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have faith.
I think that was less of a studio achievement as opposed to a director achievement.
That's true, but that's not the only good movie they've given us.
I know, but I wouldn't credit Blumhouse with the success of that movie in particular.
That's fair. Yeah, Jordan Peele's kind of a genius, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just hate Blumhouse. Sorry, guys. I'm mad at them for making bad movies.
That's fair. I still have a soft spot in my heart for them. But who knows? Maybe after like 9 more bad movies, I won't anymore.
Yeah.
No, mainly just because they've worked with, you know, people that I don't mind.
Sure.
I like James Wan. I like Lee Wanell. They've worked with Mike Flanagan, Jordan Peele, yeah. M. Night Shyamalan. Hell yeah.
For a terrible movie.
Okay, first of all, I love M. Night Shyamalan. So I don't care. I'll watch any movie he gives me. Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
Sorry. For a second, I just thought we were two gals chatting. I completely forgot we have an agenda today. All right. Gary Dauberman, who has written quite a few movies in the Conjuring universe, as well as the It remakes, and more recently, the Until Dawn adaptation that's coming out. What, is it in theaters now? Either now or Friday, right? I think it's now.
Well,
if you're listening to this, it's out. Yeah. But he is set to produce a reboot of Urban Legend. It was previously announced that a reboot might be happening of that in February of 2020, but then COVID happened, it got completely scrapped, the studios lost interest, and it was just shelved kind of indefinitely until now. It's officially getting a reboot. It's returned to development. He's producing it. They've already got someone on the script. And plot details are obviously still unknown, but sources say that it's going to aim to show what an Urban Legend movie would look like in a new digital age. So they're probably going to have like cell phones and stuff, which wasn't big in the 90s when the first one came out. Yeah, I'm excited.
I would be if I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, we'll watch them one day.
How many are there?
Three. But one of them was like straight to TV, I think, or like straight to DVD. It wasn't.
Ew.
Yeah. It didn't do so hot. To be clear, the first one was critically panned. It just did really well at the box office.
Oh.
Probably because Jared Leto's in it and they, you know, it's a slasher where people die.
You want to know something crazy? I almost sent this to you this morning.
Is it Jared Leto slander?
No.
Oh. Then I'm less interested, but go ahead.
Well, today is Jared Leto's birthday, and I was looking through my Facebook memories, and 12 years ago today, I posted a picture of Jared Leto and said, "Happy birthday, Jared Leto." I almost said it to you and said, "Wow, you would have hated me 12 years ago."
I really would have. Oh my God, that's the worst thing about you you've ever told me.
That was my peak 30 Seconds to Mars era. And to be fair, okay. I don't think any of the allegations about him were out around then yet.
No, 12 years ago, I don't think people knew he was such a big weirdo creep, but.
Yeah.
But now
I certainly didn't until I met you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, honestly, I don't. Doesn't bother me. It's disgusting. He's disgusting.
He just sucks so bad. I want to. No, I can't like make threats of violence, but you know what I mean. Like hypothetically.
Sure. I think almost more than that. No, not more than that. There's nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's 50 and looks the way he does is not human.
See, that I just attribute to him being rich because they all look. Like
not
that.
They all.
A lot of them do.
I would say he's pretty, between him and J-Lo.
He just had so much plastic surgery that it's like, you know.
But his looks good. And I wasn't necessarily talking about his face. I was talking more about his abs. He posted a picture on his 50th birthday. Was that like 3 years ago? Today? Not that I follow him on his birthday or anything.
No, it sounds like you don't.
Anyway, and he was like rock climbing or something, and he was shirtless, and I was like, oh.
I don't think I've ever seen him shirtless except for in maybe like Suicide Squad.
I never even saw that movie. I'm surprised you have.
Don't. It was very bad.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on it.
The one, so they put out that one, and then they like redid it later.
Yeah, weirdly.
That one was better.
Some of the same actors, but not all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I think just two of them came back. Harley and then, well, Margot Robbie and then the other guy that plays, like, I can't fucking remember his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't remember why I watched either of them, to be honest. But the first one was really bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
So I hear.
Yeah. Anyways, fuck Jared Leto. What's your next news?
Oh, yeah. Well, a year or two ago, a video game called The Mortuary Assistant became incredibly popular.
Hell yeah.
You streamed it. A few other of our streamer friends streamed it.
It's a fun game.
Yeah. It looked fun for other people. Not for me. I couldn't do it. Well, now it's getting a film adaptation. And according to Deadline, Willa Holland from Arrow and Paul Sparks from Castle Rock will star.
Okay.
It's a new chapter in the story that expands on the game's world and mythology and dives deeper into the lore behind the fictional city of Riverfields.
That's fun.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. Nice. I feel like that game didn't have... It had a story, But I feel like there's a lot there that they could adapt. You know what I mean? I feel like they'd have a lot of freedom with that.
Yeah. She's the mortuary assistant, I believe. And then Paul Sparks is the whatever mortician.
Got it. The one she's assisting.
Correct.
Great.
Just, yeah.
Love that. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Should we tell the people what new horror movies are coming out in May?
Yes. We've got like synopses for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's quite a few. I'm going to do the first half of them. Katie's going to do the second.
And my half starts on May 9th, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's how many are coming out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, you do have one more than me just because the day cut off.
That's okay.
There were 15, so I had to do it uneven anyway, yeah. And I figured the day was the easiest way to do it. So
sure, sure, sure.
Anyways, on May 1st, The Bootney is coming out. Little summary. Out of St. Vincent College, the Virgin Tree awakens a spirit every Valentine's Day, drawn by the desire for true love. When Shantanu's wish stirs her, the spirit becomes obsessed with him, haunting anyone who mocks her. As panic spreads, the college calls in Ghostbuster Baba, but the entity he faces defies everything he knows about the spirit world.
You said, I'm gonna be honest, so many words.
It's a Bollywood film.
Okay.
So that might be why there's some confusion there. Okay. But it genuinely just sounds like a ripoff of Stree, which is also an Indian film. And Stree was really good and really successful. So that's probably why they're kind of capitalizing off of that type of movie, because it sounds similar in the premise.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying, because those were a lot of words. I didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're welcome. That's the only one that's not, that's on a different day. All the rest are on May 2nd. So,
oh my God,
strap in. It's a day. So on May 2nd, we're getting six other movies. First up is Rosario, a Wall Street broker. Rosario Fuentes returns to her grandmother's apartment after her sudden death. While sorting through her grandmother's belongings, Rosario uncovers a horrifying secret. A hidden chamber filled with occult artifacts tied to dark generational rituals. As supernatural occurrences plague her, Rosario must confront her family's buried secrets and face the truth about the sacrifices and choices they made.
That just sounds like that one movie.
Great. If you liked that one movie, maybe you'll like this one. Next, we have A Desert. A past-his-prime photographer heads out on a road trip across the American Southwest to recapture the magic and success of his previous work. Instead, he finds himself thrust into the dark and chaotic underbelly of America and unwittingly drags his wife and a shady private detective down into this nightmare world with him. Very vague, but there you go.
Lots of underground things happening in May 2nd?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Underground, underbellies, all of the unders.
Yeah.
And won't you guess, the next movie is called Untold. So close.
Oh, yeah, Untold. I know this one.
Untold. So Vivian Vera has always been in the public eye, creating media content that catapults her to become one of the country's most influential personalities. However, her success is built on lies and manipulation, leaving a trail of ruined lives. As Vivian's past catches up with her, she faces terrifying consequences as the horrors of her deceit come to light, threatening to destroy her career.
Maybe influencers.
We'll find out on May 2nd. Up next, we have Fear Below. When a gang of ruthless criminals loses their stolen gold in a river, they turn to a team of desperate, down-on-their-luck divers to retrieve it. What begins as a high-stakes recovery mission quickly spirals when the divers soon find themselves in the company of a vicious bull shark. The dangers in the water are only a fraction of the dangers that wait for them above. Another shark movie. Yay.
I like shark movies. And also, we just had a diving movie.
Did we?
Yeah, the one with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't really like a horror movie.
Oh.
That was based on a real story.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The guy actually survived down there. It's a whole thing. But yeah, he got stuck and his line snapped when he was diving down to fix something. And then, yeah, they said he only had enough oxygen to survive like 5 minutes down there. And I think it took them like an hour to get to him. That might be not true. It might have been 30 minutes, but it was way longer than like the allotted oxygen that he had. And he lived.
Holy shit.
And like, they're really not sure how, but yeah. I want to see that though. Yeah, Last Breath, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, we kept seeing the trailers for it while we were watching Buffy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made it into a movie that came out like a month or two ago, but yeah. I think there's also a documentary about it as well. So,
oh.
I know. I kind of want to see that though.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this one's about sharks. So, next up, we have Holy Night Demon Hunters. The film revolves around Holy Night, a trio of demon hunters armed with supernatural powers who are called to save Soul when it descends into chaos as a devil-worshipping criminal network emerges.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever.
And then lastly, we have Vulcanizadora. Forgive me, I don't know how to say that. And I tried to look it up and there wasn't anything. Anyways, two friends trudge through a Michigan forest with the intention of following through on a disturbing pact. Once their plan goes shockingly awry, the haunting consequences of their failure can't stay hidden for long. Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Nothing groundbreaking.
No, you got all the good ones.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, on May 9th, we have Clown in a Cornfield, which, if I remember correctly, which I probably don't, knowing me, is being released in drive-in theaters first?
Could be. It's based on a book.
Oh, interesting.
That went like a little bit TikTok viral, I think.
Oh, cute. Well, quick synopsis. Quinn and her father have just moved to the quiet town of Kettle Springs, hoping for a fresh start. Instead, she discovers a fractured community that has fallen on hard times after the treasured corn syrup factory burned down. As the locals bicker and tensions boil over, a sinister, grinning figure emerges from the cornfields to cleanse the town of its burdens, one bloody victim at a time.
I bet it's the clown.
I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah, I'd put money on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just reminds me of Dead by Daylight. There's a clown and there's a cornfield. There's actually several cornfields.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. The Moo Guy also comes out May 9th. Sarah and Fergus, a hopeful young Aboriginal couple, give birth to their second baby. But what should be a joyous time of their lives becomes sinister when Sarah starts seeing a malevolent spirit she is convinced is trying to take her baby. Fergus, who can't see it but desperately wants to believe her, grows increasingly worried as she becomes more unbalanced. Is the child-stealing spirit real, or is she, in fact, the biggest threat to the safety of their family?
Hashtag believe women.
Honestly, that should be the byline of that film.
If I were a part of that team, it would be.
Yeah, I believe it.
Thank you.
Finally, on May 9th, we have The Ancestral Home, a Gen Z content creator, another influencer movie, returns to her ancestral home in search of viral supernatural content, only to encounter the ghost of her tragically deceased brother. To fulfill his wish, they must work together to uncover the truth behind his untimely death while safeguarding the family's fortune and ancestral home for their greedy relatives.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, the word ancestral keeps coming up. You had one with the word ancestral, the one underground, the cave, or the...
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's about... under things and the ancestry of things. That's the theme.
And it's influencers telling the story.
Yep.
On May 16th, finally, we get Final Destination's Bloodlines. We've been talking about it for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Plagued by a violent recurring nightmare, college student Stephanie heads home to track down the one person who might be able to break the cycle and save her family from the grisly demise that inevitably awaits them all. Very straightforward for a Final Destination's movie.
I mean, I feel like they're all kind of the same formula, you know?
Yeah, of course. That's what I mean.
Disaster strikes, death follows.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Yep. The Severed Son also comes out May 16th. In the heart of an isolated religious community, the pastor delivers his fervent sermons to a devoted congregation. But in the depths of the forest, the pastor's daughter, Magpie, takes desperate action, ending the life of her abusive husband. Oh my God. His murder will unleash a malevolent force, a mysterious beast with shimmering white eyes. When the beast leaves a trail of gruesome carnage, a brutal witch hunt ignites and the community hurtles towards self-destruction. That could be good.
It's fun watching you read these for the first time.
I am reading them for the first time.
Do another.
Okay. a breed apart. When Violet accepts an invitation to a private island with some of the world's most famous social influencers. What the fuck?
Influencers. I knew so you were going to get to that and lose it.
Why is it all about influencers?
I don't know.
We need to do an episode specifically on all the influencer movies that came out in May of 2025. We can wait a few years before we do it, but anyway, Violet, she expects a weekend of unrivaled viral opportunity. She soon becomes part of her own horrific reality show when the guests are pitted against each other to capture the island's legendary man-eating dogs before they become victims of the monstrous canines. What the fuck is this movie?
I don't know. It sounds insane. I'm gonna be watching it.
Yeah, sure. It sounds like fun.
It sounds like The Most Dangerous Game, but with dogs and influencers.
Yeah.
And a reality TV show.
So nothing like The Most Dangerous Game at all.
Being on an island and being hunted. Gotcha, okay. There, bitch. Yeah.
To me, it sounds more like the Mr. Beast Fortnite mod.
Oh, okay.
In which he is an influencer and he's on an island and there's zombies and everybody has to hunt the zombies.
Okay.
Except dogs.
The Hunger Games. That's it. Because there are dogs that hunt them. And it is kind of influencers.
Yeah.
Wow, I just nailed it. Never mind.
It's influencers. Yeah, breed apart. And then on May 23rd, there's two more. Stay with us. Okay, then on May 23rd, Cop Copy, a clique of friends seeking thrills, uses a Ouija board to connect with a ghost for fun. Soon, they realize that their house has become haunted by a female spirit. The most boring synopsis I've ever read.
That's the synopsis for at least like 9 other movies that I've seen, and half of those are called Ouija, so.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Yeah. Okay, and finally, 5:30, May 30th, Bring Her Back. A brother and sister uncover a terrifying ritual at the secluded home of their new foster mother. This is the new movie from the Filipow brothers, who did Talk to Me.
Hell yeah. Ending on a strong note.
Hooray. People speculated a lot that movie was a sequel to Talk to Me, but it's not the sequel. There is one, but it's not.
Yeah. I feel like it's because they announced so long ago that they were doing the sequel.
Yeah.
That then when they said, oh, we have a new movie, everybody was like, oh, this is what it is. Sequel. But I hope it doesn't suck. That'd be crazy. Because I really liked Talk to Me. So.
Well, that's Bring Her Back's A24, right? That's
A24. Yeah, they did Talk to Me as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It can't be that bad if it's A24.
You'd hope.
The worst A24 movie is better than the best Blumhouse movie. Of late.
Okay, I was like, no, wrong. Get Out is a 5 out of 5.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. But like Everything Everywhere All at Once, a 6 out of 5. It's not horror, though.
It's not. But that is one of the greatest movies ever made, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so happy May. You've got plenty of movies to watch.
So many. We just talked for so long. I apologize.
Yeah. But the episode's over.
That's it. I hope you liked it. Let us know if you want to talk about One Cut of the Dead next episode. No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about it now. All right. One Cut of the Dead, Japanese film that came out in 2017. A little synopsis. Things go badly for a hack director and film crew shooting a low-budget zombie film in an abandoned World War II Japanese facility when they are attacked by real zombies. That's from Google. If you haven't seen this movie, stop right now. Go watch it and then come back. This is like genuinely, I know I say this all the time, but for real, this is a movie that you have to watch before you get spoilers on it.
Yeah.
You can't, you have to go into it blind. So we're going to talk about spoilers now, so this is your chance.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor.
Yes. This was written and directed by Shinichiro Ueda. It stars Takayuki Hamatsu, Yuzuki Akiyama, and Kazuaki Nagaya. It currently has a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb, an 85% audience score, and a 100% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. It had a budget of about $25,000, and it made over $31 million worldwide at the box office.
More than 1,000 times its budget.
Yeah. It did very well. Yeah. But did we like it? That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. You just have to listen and find out, I guess.
You do. You're stuck here with us.
Yeah. yeah, people fucking love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shinichiro Ueda, the director, said that he was asked in an interview, how did you know this was a hit? He said that 2 or 3 weeks into the first run, he realized that something was happening. Because the first week, it was just like older guys, fans of indie film coming to see the movie. Then in that second and third week, there were more younger people, more women. He started seeing that audience sort of diversify. Mm-hmm. Then he started seeing people in the street wearing One Cut of the Dead t-shirts like they do in the movie. And he heard people talking about the film everywhere. And he'd been doing indie films for like so long leading up to this one and had never experienced anything that like that. But he just saw people sort of organically attaching themselves to this movie or getting attached to the movie. And that's how it was becoming a hit.
Yeah, definitely spread through word of mouth. I think he had also said his original goal was they were hoping that they could maybe sell 5,000 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that. And then they sold 10,000. And then it just kept going. And they passed 2 million tickets. So it just really spread kind of like wildfire. And they said originally they were only going to show it for 1 week in Tokyo. And that became over 300 showings nationwide.
Insane. They showed it at a ton of festivals. They showed it at like 60 festivals, I think. And it won 18 awards in the first month, within the first month.
Mm-hmm.
At an Italian film festival, it got a 5-minute standing ovation. And the director said that the audience in Italy was clapping and like hooting and hollering in the first act, which was sort of like a culture shock because the Japanese audiences were very quiet during that section. And then they sort of like livened up in act two and act three. But it's also, at the time, was the biggest film, not horror film, biggest film of the year in Taiwan and close to being the biggest film in the past 10 years in Taiwan.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, is it crazy? You'll find out what we think about that.
That's true. I said it was crazy, not that it wasn't merited.
Yes, correct.
I think no matter what, it was crazy. It's crazy. That happened.
Yeah, fair.
On that note, though, it was also nominated for 8 awards at the Japan Academy Film Prizes, which is essentially the Japanese Oscars. It was nominated for Picture of the Year, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Screenplay, Best Music, Best Cinematography, and Best Sound Recording. And then it was nominated and won Best Film Editing. So.
Oh, fun.
They loved it.
Yeah, editing. If I had to have picked one of the ones that it would have won, editing would have been it.
Yeah, because 100%. It's
like so fun. 3 different POVs, or 4 technically, if you count the like end credits, the actual end credits, the third end credits.
Yeah, where they like show the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what makes that win a little bit even more crazy, not that it's not, you know, it deserved it. But again, this was a $25,000 movie. It was a very low budget indie film. Mm-hmm. But Ueda actually edited the film himself. And he spent about 3 months doing it just in his free time while he was also working. And he did the work on his old Mac laptop and used Final Cut Pro 7. So you too can edit a $1 million movie.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
$25 million movie. Or 30.
30.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking insane. Most of the cast also was like not only not paid, or maybe they weren't, like in hindsight, but they paid to be part of the movie because it started as a project of an acting and directing workshop called the ENBU seminar. I don't know if it's NBU or ENBU.
Yeah.
But it's like an acting and directing school in Japan. And everybody in the film was a part of this school and signed up to be part of the movie that way.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun way to make a film. Just like a bunch of random people.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to call it a student film because I think it was a little bit beyond that. Like, it was a workshop. It wasn't necessarily for a grade.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the fact that people paid to do a workshop for this movie, and then it becomes this international sensation. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, it was their film debut. They'd only done stage acting before this.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few of them had done some work as extras, but nothing crazy.
Yeah. It's always fun to do. Not that this was found footage. It was more like, I'd call it more of a mockumentary than a found footage, but a little bit of both. So I don't know. Hard to characterize.
I think the first 37 minutes is definitely found footage.
Yeah.
And then the rest is more mockumentary.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot where I was going with that, but I was going to say something intelligent probably.
Oh, I believe it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Insert soundbite of Katie saying something smart here.
This is also included among Letterboxd. That's a hard word to say. Mm-hmm. Letterboxd. Yeah. Top 250 horror films of all time.
Yeah.
And you know Letterboxd. It's pretty pretentious. Yeah,
it is. We say lovingly.
Well.
I'm going to talk a little bit about the first 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to eventually. But the first 37 minutes was all shot in one take. It took 2 days and 6 takes for them to get the perfect one, which I still think is such a small number.
Yeah.
6 takes to get it right. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And the actress, Harumi Shuhama, who played the wife, she said that they actually got the scene done perfectly on their second try, but there was like a camera issue, and so it stopped during the take.
Oh, no.
And then it wasn't usable. So that's even crazier that they got it done in their second try. Yeah, I remember the first time I watched this, I asked, little backstory real quick about how I first watched this movie, was we have a Discord server with a bunch of our friends, and typically every year during October, we'll watch a whole bunch of horror movies, and everybody kind of suggests some. We watch, you know, the ones that are on streaming sites that somebody owns. But our friend Michelle, who was in our 25th episode, she's requested a few episodes, like a few movies as we've gone. Every single year, she makes us watch The Bye Bye Man, which is the worst movie ever made, maybe. I don't know. It's close.
I still it's a terrible film.
I don't know how, because I've watched it now 3 times. So that's 3 times too many. So she makes us do this every year. It's a terrible movie. It's not even a funny good movie. It's just a bad movie. And so last year, she makes us watch The Bye Bye Man again. I'm putting my foot down this year. But anyways, so she does that. And then she's like, oh, yeah, like her other suggestion is One Cut of the Dead. And I'm like, fine, whatever. She's going to keep hounding us like she does with Bye Bye Man every year. So we'll just watch it, right? So we watch it. And I'm going to give away a little bit of my ending here, my rating here, but I just said, Michelle, this movie is brilliant. What are we doing here? Like, how do you like The Bye Bye Man and also like this movie? Like, the disconnect was crazy. Yeah. And I can never take suggestions from her because it's a fucking minefield. You never know what you're going to get. Because, mind you, she also said, this is a funny horror comedy. She thinks Bye Bye Man is so funny. It's not. It's not funny.
I need to watch it. You need to watch it one more time so that I can watch it with you.
I won't, but they're going to be watching it. They literally are planning on watching it soon, so you can hop in there. I can't do it. I'm so sorry. But anyways, yeah, that was how I did it. But during the first 37 minutes, I remember there was a time I asked her, I was like, was this all done in one take? Because I couldn't tell for a second if when they turned the camera, they were using that to cut.
Because
mm-hmm. That's a technique that they use a lot. And she was like, no, it is. And I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. At least, like, that was cool. Because the first 37 minutes is, like, you're watching a bad movie, right?
Correct.
Like, that's the whole point. And so I'm thinking, here's another Michelle pick, right? Like, another mm-hmm. bad movie. That's its, you know, shining star factor that it was all done in one take. So I remember thinking that, and yeah. But I find it so interesting when movies do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a characteristic of found footage. A lot of the found footage movies are just one continuous. Maybe not a lot of them, but this one does it.
Like, I can't think of any.
It. Oh, yeah, maybe not. Well, Okay, well, this one does it really well.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And I can think of other movies that have one long take, but not necessarily found footage.
There's a show that's getting really popular right now where each episode is one take.
Oh.
I forget what it's called. If you know what it is, tell us in the comments, because that's going to
bother me. Yeah. We can Google it later, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more fun to engagement farm, though.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We're not going to Google it, so you have to tell us.
Yeah. I'm just going to go crazy, and we're not going to do any more episodes.
Yeah.
Unless you help me. The only scene in the entire movie that sort of bothered me a little bit was the shot where the main character is pulling off the moulage, essentially, from her ankle. Yeah. That really bothered me. I don't know why.
But like, bothered you in an uncomfortable way?
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. Well, because at that point, I didn't know that it was, like, a movie. You know what I mean? I didn't know that it was, like, a movie about making a movie.
Right. You just thought this was...
So I thought she was about to, like, put her finger in there or something. And then she's tearing it off. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Which is so fun. Like, that was... The most fun I've ever had in a movie is, like, having all of those what the fuck is happening right now resolved in the back third of the movie. The first third of the movie, you're like, why did this happen?
Yeah.
What am I watching? And then the second half is like, oh, my God, they're going to tell me why I just watched what I just watched. And then the third resolves it all. And, oh, my God, it's glorious.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, real quick – the fact that you mentioned that part was the only part that bothered you is kind of funny, because that was edited in post because the sticker wouldn't come off cleanly when they were filming it.
Yes.
So that is kind of funny. But yeah, I had the same thoughts. What were you thinking when you were like, Cassidy made me watch this movie?
I don't know. So, I mean, we have not watched a single flop of a international film. So I knew you weren't feeding me an international flop. I knew that. So I trusted the process, definitely. But I was definitely wondering, what the fuck is happening? Why are we watching this?
Yeah.
I knew it would get good. I knew something about it was going to be good. I kind of, to your point, thought that maybe it's because the entire movie is one take. That is interesting.
Yeah.
And that is what the movie's called.
Mm-hmm.
But I never would have guessed that we were going to get the Office Universe horror movie. Like, that was not, I never would have figured that out.
All right. Well, note to self, put international horror flop on the list. Really catch you off guard. Yeah. But yeah, fair. I was curious to know, like, what your thoughts were, because my thoughts were, my friend who likes bad movies told me to watch a bad movie. Yeah. So that was just what I was thinking. I was like, oh, this is just the room of horror movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were resigned to watching an hour and a half long movie, terrible movie.
I really was, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know that it like slogged on long enough for me to necessarily believe. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's the end of the movie. But I did have that thought, like, is that it? And my favorite Reddit post on our horror, I don't know if you saw this too, but the post was, I'm 25 minutes into One Cut of the Dead and it's awful. Which is like, yeah, honestly.
25 minutes in, it is.
Yeah. Wait, once you hit the 26th minute though, then it starts getting real good.
A little bit longer, honestly. That 38th minute?
Yeah, 38th minute. Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I know the cast said that they, when they did screenings, they saw people like getting up to leave when the fake credits rolled because they thought that was it.
Yeah.
And so they had to be like, no, sit down, there's more.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that sort of bothered me about, not like bothered, like the sticker bothered me, but like, like, the pregnant pauses and the staring directly into the camera and then like randomly repeating things.
Yeah.
Or the one that I was finally like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Was the mom or the wife popping back up?
Yeah.
What the fuck? You're dead. What are you doing here?
It is, I will say, on rewatch, it's so much fun. I mean, it's so much fun the first time.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to pretend like I didn't like this movie. Yeah. Anymore. But anyways, because you can't talk about it without talking about how brilliantly it's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first time you watch it, I feel like it's like that confusion and then that, okay, oh, wow. Like, those are the three. Like, what the fuck? Okay. Holy shit. Like, those are that's the stages of this movie. But then on rewatch, you know what's happening. So, like, every time I just heard, like, a pom in the background, I was dying. Like, I was laughing so hard.
This is embarrassing. I had, like, some serious problems with the subtitles. Because this movie is available on Internet Archive. I don't know if it's supposed to be or not, though. It doesn't strike me as old enough to be there. But anyway,
yeah.
It didn't say palm. It said porn.
Oh no!
Which is even funnier.
That is funnier.
Because that makes sense to distract a man. Scream porn. You know what I mean?
Porn.
So when I was reading through like the Reddit or whatever, and a lot of people were just commenting the word palm, which is really funny.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. My subtitles striking because my subtitles were so fucked up.
Yeah.
But that was by far the funniest snafu in the subtitles.
Yeah, I like that. Porn.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, that was just cracking me up. I couldn't. Them filming her screaming for like 5 minutes while you just hear palm, palm in the background.
That seemed like
so good.
I almost asked you if we were even watching the right movie when we were just watching her scream for 4 minutes. Like, what the fuck?
I know. I was really hoping that you would just, like, go through it. But I kept thinking, oh, she's going to message me and be like, is that it? When the credits roll or something like that. Or like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I mean, I did check. I was like, is this over? Are you sure it's over? Oh, shit. And then the inception of, like, all of the different credits.
Mm-hmm.
And then the behind the scenes being at the end of like that the last credits was a very good touch.
Yeah,
I loved that. So fun.
Yeah, I love the end credits. Them showing them actually shooting it and like, which I would love to have just been a fly on the wall while they shoot this because how many times like, how did they shoot the behind the scenes in the movie? They shot that separately from shooting the actual film at the beginning. So how many times did they shoot this all again? It's just...
I would assume... Well, more than that. So first of all, I would assume that they knew they weren't going to get it on the first try and filmed the behind the scenes for the first try is like a full run.
Okay.
Like a...
See, because I'm like, they matched it up so perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you see the behind the scenes and then, or at the very end, like the end credits, it shows them, you know, him putting the camera on the ground and then... climbing up a step ladder to do the last scene and all of that kind of stuff. And then it's like, okay, so then you had to match up whatever you got through that with your behind the scenes shoot of them, you know, everything going wrong.
Yeah,
so it's like, it was just so well done.
There are three cameras rolling at all times. There's the camera in the guy's hand. There's the camera recording the guy with the camera in his hand. And then there's the camera recording the guy with the camera in his hand.
Right.
So... I would assume that they used the footage of the exact shot.
But they couldn't have because, well, I mean, they might have, but in the behind the scenes at the end, in those credits, like, it's showing a different thing than what we're seeing from the third act.
The second point of view.
Yeah, like, we're seeing the guy, like, holding the camera on the ground when the guy fell and is holding it, and he's, like, grabbing water from, like, one of the assistants. So you know it's not the same shot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, how did they get it to line up so well?
Yeah, and it really did.
Yeah.
Also, the zombie falling on the ground. He was drunk, by the way. He was actually drunk. The guy that was drunk in the film was supposedly actually drunk.
Yeah.
But him falling on the ground, that was another where I was like, what is it? Like, am I watching the blooper reel of this movie? What is happening?
Yeah, I've seen multiple interviews where cast and crew have said that the guy in the pink shirt who's drunk was actually just drunk in real life.
Yeah.
And anytime he felt himself getting sober, he'd just go drink a little bit more and come back to set. So,
well, commitment to the bit.
Yeah, it worked.
Totally unrelated, but earlier you talked about how the film was nominated for, like, the Japanese equivalent of the Oscars for mm-hmm. music.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever listened to Strokes?
Yes.
Doesn't it sound like the Strokes could have written the music for this movie?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I thought about them the whole time. I was like, oh, this kind of sounds like the Strokes.
That's so funny. I used to have like a whole, I had a whole Strokes era.
Me too.
How did yours start?
It was my ex introduced me to them is how it started, but I was going to tell you when it started. It was when Angles came out.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I listened to Come Down Machine, and that's probably it, honestly. Just those 2 or 3 years, 4 years maybe.
Oh, you don't listen to This Is It? That's a great album. Anyways, mine started because Julian Casablancas featured on a Lonely Island sketch.
Oh, fun.
And I was like, hell yeah. And then I looked him up and looked up his music, and then I was obsessed with it for like a couple of years. And then,
yeah.
And then One Direction came out, and I switched gears, but.
After that, you switched to, I guess Lonely Island was a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, that was a long time ago. That was like high school, middle school.
Yeah. This was probably like 2010, 2011. That's
high school.
Yeah. I would say my Strokes era was 2010, 2011. One Direction didn't even go on the X Factor until what, 2012?
I don't fucking know.
Get your One Direction history straight, okay? How dare you? In my house? Anyways, back to this movie.
Yeah. The baby.
Mm-hmm.
The director's baby. Yep. The actual director, not the director of the in the movie. The director of the entire movie.
Yes, not the fake director.
Correct.
There was, well, if you look this movie up on like Wikipedia, it'll say based on Ghost in the Box. Oh, and that's because there was basically a whole, I don't know if it ever went to lawsuit. I think they came to an agreement outside of that. But Ryoichi, I think, Wada, wrote the play Ghost in the Box, and then basically saw a lot of similarities because it's one story told from three different perspectives, I guess. So I think he was consulting with like his legal representatives, and then Ueda basically said that it was an inspiration, but he denied that it was like plagiarism. And then they kind of came to an agreement outside of that. So, and I think Ueda ended up acknowledging Ghost in the Box in the credits, which is why it's now kind of shown as based on, even though that wasn't the intention, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a whole controversy, I guess.
Yeah.
The school, like the acting and directing academy where everything was filmed, posted a statement on Facebook saying that there was no truth at all in Wada's claims. And they even went so far as to say that they strongly resent the insinuations of the article that he did in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ueda like tried to smooth things over. He's like, yeah, I hope one day I get to work with Wada and make something cool.
Technically, this movie does have sequels and a remake.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them, so I didn't make you watch them, but the first sequel, One Cut of the Dead spinoff in Hollywood, is about the daughter, that's the whole title, that's, yeah, One Cut of the Dead spinoff in Hollywood, but it's about the daughter in this movie making her own movie, kind of like her dad did in this one. That was made for TV in Japan in 2019. And then they had another sequel, which was One Cut of the Dead Mission Remote. And that was a 2020 short that Ueda made during the pandemic. Because he was kind of like, how can I find a way to entertain people when we're all locked down like this? So he wrote the script up in one night. He confirmed that the actors would be able to reprise their roles. And then basically gave them all instructions via a video conference. And then had them all just like send him their video parts through like a messaging system, and then he put them all together. But that's available on YouTube. So you can go watch it now. I think it's like 30 minutes long. I haven't watched it yet, but I have it saved for later. And then in 2022, a French director did a remake titled Final Cut. So that's also out there.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know something crazy?
Always.
I was reading interviews about this, and I just took this for what it was worth. In the interview, the director said he had no concrete plan for a sequel, and that he has considered a 2 or a 3 with a slightly larger budget, but hadn't started filming. So I just assumed that there weren't any. So that's fun to learn.
Maybe an older article.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, it was within a few weeks of the movie being released. So,
oh, there you go.
2017 or 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently the cast does. Well, I guess the article I read was also not that long after it came out. But they said that they still get together for like weddings and events and stuff like that. Yeah. So they became kind of a... I hate it when workplaces call themselves families, but I'll excuse it for this one.
Sure.
They said that they kind of did become a family because of, I mean, everything that went into this. Plus, it's like a workshop, so it's more of a, I guess it's more of a friendly environment than an actual work environment.
Yeah. Fun little anecdote. I think you know this about me. I did a rock camp for women once.
I didn't.
You didn't know this?
I didn't.
Oh, the video is on YouTube. I'll share it with you and you only. Similar. It was a workshop. It was over like the course of a couple weekends. We all got together, formed bands, learned instruments, wrote a song, and performed the song at a venue, a real venue in Anaheim. And that was 9-10 years ago. And we all still chat.
Wow. What instrument did you play?
Drums.
I have always wanted to be a cool drummer girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Our song's in Spanish. Like it.
What's it about?
I couldn't tell you. Mm. We said the word sueños a couple times, so it was about dreams.
Great.
Yeah. The band was called Up Your... La Tuya. Up Yours. We had a really great shirt, too. We had to make our own shirts. We got to Zacto blade out our logo and screen print our shirts. That was part of the workshop. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We didn't
make $25 million off of it, but
yeah, well, do better, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'll show you the video sometime. It's a good song. Perfect. I think about it every once in a while. I start singing it, just humming it, you know.
Similar but worse. When I was in high school, we had to do a calculus project. And we had to basically, we were each given a topic and we had to make a video on it. And we were given full creative control about what the video was as long as we got we hit our points.
Mm-hmm.
And ours was about Isaac Newton. And we did a cover of My Humps, but about Isaac Newton. And sometimes when I listen to My Humps, like my version, we'll play our version. I can't take credit for all of that, but it'll play in my head. So
I did remember that about you.
Did you?
I did.
I couldn't remember if I'd told that story about me before, but it does sometimes. I'll wake up in the night in a cold sweat and think about the fact that my teacher still has that video of me somewhere.
Yeah. Because I think I don't remember which of the two of us brought it up first. We're talking about ourselves now. This is a podcast about us.
It always has been.
It always has been. You're right. In middle school, or maybe, yeah, it was middle school. It was elementary school. We made a documentary about Jane Goodall in which I dressed in a fur coat as a chimpanzee.
Yeah, and you still won't show me that video.
Yeah, I have it. It's right up there. It's in a little
box. I don't have mine. I would show. I'll do a recreation sometime. But from what I can remember. Anyways, I wish my project made me millions of dollars.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Any other fun facts, or should we get to writing it?
I mean, we kind of already mentioned that they filmed the one take in 2 days, but that was just part of an 8 days total of shooting. So this was a very, very quick turnaround. They did do like months of rehearsals prior, obviously, for that one take.
Yeah.
But 8 days, $25,000, 8 days in a dream. It's all you need.
Yeah, $25,000 in a dream. We've always said it. Yeah. If anyone wants to give us $25,000, we can come up with a dream.
I have many a dream. Give me $25,000. Please. Do you have any other fun facts?
No.
All right, let's do it then.
Covered them all. How scary did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5 out of 5. It's not scary. It's a silly, goofy time. What about you?
I gave it a 5 out of 5 scary good.
Oh.
No, I gave it a 0.5 also. It's not scary.
Thank you, yeah.
It's not scary.
No.
It's not supposed to be.
No. How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5. It didn't really strike me as like a sexy movie for whatever reason. It was just kind of whatever. It was low budget, but not like in a fun 80s or 90s way. Mm. But there were some characters covered in blood the whole time, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
How about you?
I give it a 2.
Oh, okay.
1 point for girl covered in blood. That's always, you know, great. And then half a point for just the execution of it all.
Yeah.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah. And if you're confused, which I would be even after all this time, our scale starts at 0.5. So that's why
it does.
It's 1.5 plus 0.5 is 2.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying.
You're so welcome. How fucked up did you think it was?
A 0.5. 'Twas not.
Yeah.
What about you?
Also 0.5. Nothing about this movie was fucked up.
Not really.
The scab, the moulage thing sort of bothered me, but it wasn't fucked up.
Okay. Cool. Yep. Overall, what did you think of One Cut of the Dead?
Yeah, this movie slaps. So fun. So fun. The most fun I've ever had watching a movie, maybe. After the first 37 minutes.
Yeah.
And it will absolutely be the best second watch of a movie I'll ever have. I think I'm more excited to watch it a second time. And also will be sadder that, like, I'm going to want to have watched it a second time again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? For the first time. A second time. Yeah. You know, yeah. Anyway. The cast really sold it. It was such a fun concept. It did a really good job sort of like creating holes. I wish we knew more about like how this was written. Like, was it written like specific scenes and specific actions? And how was that written? Was it written from the third point of view? The first point? Anyway.
Yeah.
It was just a blast to watch. The first third was obviously a little rough. I'll admit there were some, I don't know. Anyway, once the credits start rolling for the first time, that's when you start to get it and everything starts falling into place perfectly. It's like a perfect little puzzle. It's an absolute fucking riot. I gave it a 5. I can't give it anything other than 5. It's a perfect film. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I want to throw up knowing that Michelle is the one who recommended this, but
it ruined my life. I think. I'll never get over the fact that the girl who made me watch Bye Bye Man 3 times suggested this movie before I watched it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How about you?
You're right. This is a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
This is just an absolutely brilliant love letter to movie making. And it was executed so well. And yes, I do think like the first 30 minutes on your first watch is a little hard to get through because if you go in blind like we did, it's just like, what the fuck is happening right now? Mm-hmm. But yeah, once everything falls into place, it's just so brilliant. Okay, there aren't enough words to describe how perfectly they put this all together. And yeah, even has rewatchability because I was cracking up because I knew what was happening behind the scenes. Pom! It's just great.
Porn.
Porn. Yeah, I think that this movie is brilliant. Very well done.
Yes. So good. So, 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 so good. This is definitely my favorite of the horror comedies that we've watched. And maybe even my favorite of all the movies we've watched. It's up there.
Hell yeah.
It's so good.
It is very good.
I'm going to bully my husband into watching it with me tonight.
Yeah, he should. It's not scary. Really,
no, not at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll be fine.
And he knows nothing about it. I haven't said a word.
Yeah, I can't. He'll be bitching and moaning for the first 30 minutes, but absolutely. That'll be fine.
Absolutely. Why are we watching this?
what is this? Did Cassidy make you watch this?
No, I'll blame Michelle.
Yeah, there you go. Make him watch. Okay, you both watch Bye Bye Man first. And then, and then say, oh, she wanted us to watch this other movie too.
And he'd never do it.
He'd be primed and ready. All right. Well, typically this is where I ask, would we survive? I think it's fairly obvious if we would or not, but go ahead and answer.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Like, I scripted this. Mm. I said, this is what I scripted. Yes, nobody actually dies in this film. It's basically The Office. So I could confidently say we're both living, but I'll give you a chance to answer for yourself.
Yeah, look at that. We both were going to speak for each other. yeah, obviously. No one dies. It's yeah. just a fun little how to make a movie movie.
Yeah.
Which I should say, you should actually go on Letterboxd and read Mike Flanagan's review of this.
Oh, okay.
Because he made one. He made his wife, Kate Siegel, watch it. And they were pumped about it. So
fun.
Very cute. Because they're filmmakers. So it's, I think this movie would be even more, or hit more home for people who do make movies, because it is truly a love letter to
yeah.
the process of doing that.
Yeah.
It made me want to make a movie.
Honestly, yeah.
That Does anybody like- have $25,000 so we can make a movie?
Seriously.
All right. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
Yes.
Do you write it down? Do you know what it is?
I do.
Okay. What is it?
It's Suspiria.
It is. We're going to be watching the 1977 Suspiria and the 2018 remake.
I am pretty sure that I have seen this movie.
You have?
I think so.
Why is it that when we started this, you said, I've only ever seen Paranormal Activity, and then every few weeks you just say, actually, I think I've seen this movie.
I don't know, because I have a memory of a goldfish, first of all.
Yeah.
And true. I didn't enjoy or appreciate horror movies, so I probably blocked them out of my brain.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so what's it about?
It's been a long time since I've seen this.
Yeah.
A long time. So I'll give it a go. This is what I remembered from it.
Okay.
This movie stars Shia LaBeouf, who is a teenager, and he is spying on his girl next door neighbor with binoculars.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And he witnesses a murder in her house.
No.
Yeah. And then he goes over there to save her. And it turns out that she's actually the murderer, and she's been doing the girl next door thing to get him to come over there. And then he finally took the bait. And then I think he drowns in the pool or something.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Right? What? What?
So you are thinking of the 2007 movie Disturbia.
Oh, no.
which is not this at all.
Oh, no.
Also, she wasn't the murderer, and he doesn't die in that, so you should revisit. But
okay, it's been a long time. That's just what yeah. I felt in my heart.
The joy I feel right now that you thought that this was that movie is...
You see where I'm coming from?
Disturbia, yeah, Suspiria. Yeah. No,
I get Rihanna and Beyonce mixed up, because they both have the same syllable. Beyonce, Rihanna.
Well, it's actually Rihanna, but we just say it wrong.
You're right. But, you're so right.
No, it's funny, because as soon as you said Shia LaBeouf, I knew exactly what you were thinking it was. And that's why it was so funny. Yeah, no, that's not it at all. Not even a little bit.
Damn.
Yeah, sorry.
Who's
in it? Which one did you think it was?
What do you mean?
Well, you said you saw it so long ago, but that it also starred Shia LaBeouf. So the years were 1977 and 2018. Which one did you think it was?
Oh, yeah. Excellent point. The 18, I guess.
It had to be.
But also, I just read on the sheet, Suspiria remake and remake or whatever it said.
Yeah. I guess you didn't know the years until I just said them.
Yeah.
And you were already set with your...
Yeah. Disturbia.
Yeah.
Suspiria.
Yep. Well, No, sorry, that's not correct. But this will be our first Dario Argento film, so that's exciting for you because he's a very prolific horror director. So,
what else has he done? Are you like, oh, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah, it's a lot of Italian movies: Deep Red, Tenebrae, Phenomena, Opera.
Is this?
I think Italian he was actually film? Suspiria.
Yeah. Which one did he direct? The original or the remake?
He directed the original. The original is an Italian film. They do speak English and Italian in it.
An international film.
International. Yeah, I didn't really plan that. I think of it more as like a classic, but the remake is all English. So, yeah.
Exciting.
It is.
I know nothing about it, actually.
That's great. I love it when you go in blind. I think that's incredible. Do you want to throw that one in there too? We could do a threefer. Just watch Disturbia
also.
And the Suspirias, and we can pretend they're all in the same universe.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Great.
Could they be in the same universe?
I don't think there's anything glaringly that says they couldn't, but...
Okay.
Likely? No. Impossible? Also no.
Okay, well... Good. Excellent. Exciting. Great.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right. Well, let me know. I forget what I asked you to put in the comments, but do that, please. Audience.
Audience, there's a TV show. Listeners, there's a TV show that every episode is one take. Let us know if you know what that is in the comments. I'm reminding you what you asked them.
Thank you. And also, yeah. I could be making that up completely.
Let us know if that's a real thing or if Katie made it up. And if it's not a real thing, let us know if you have $25,000 in 8 days so that we can make it a thing.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll shoot the pilot on your dime, listeners. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Perfect. Okay. Great.
All right. Well, I am glad that you liked it. Shout out to Michelle. She didn't request that we do this, but she was the one that showed me the movie, unfortunately, so I do have to give her that credit. I'll let you know when they watch Bye Bye Man so you can tune in to see this disparity of it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening. Please feel free to like and subscribe. You know the drill. Comment the TV show if you know it. Go watch One Cut of the Dead if you skip to the end. And we'll see you next week for Suspiria.
In May. Hooray. Summertime.
Yeah. Happy May. Bye.
Bye.